Welcome to the Total Bitcoin Podcast Show. My name is Keith Van de Vane, Total Connector. You know, like never before, people are really hungry for solutions. Something beyond hope, you know, something beyond, you know, some kind of fantasies. But it's really time for, you know, giving people a concrete, you know, specific solution-focused vision. And that's why, you know, I'm really focused now on this film project, Human Life Rooted in Bitcoin. I hope you've already read my short brainstorm article. It's actually a pitch for everybody, you know, for filmmakers, producers, investors, Bitcoiners, scientists. And already, you know, a lot of people have gotten in touch with me. Amazing people, you know, who are building like, homes, you know, on land, on water, like Grant Grumman. So without further ado, I'm really excited to announce this next talk with three other Iranians like myself. I'm originally born in Iran, so it's so I'm really excited to have this talk with Arman Taleh, who is, by the way, my cousin. He lives and works in Germany. Then we have Zara Amini and Zia Saad, whom by now, you know, a lot of you know him because he's also, you know, oftentimes mentioned, you know, by Alex Gladstein, Human Rights Foundation, or Andreas Antonopoulos. So it's really exciting talk. We're going to brainstorm about our vision and perspectives, how we can, you know, touch the hearts, minds, intellect, the brains of the people, and really offer people a really specific, concrete solution. And that is, whatever you want to call it, a human civilization, a free private cities, a citadel city or society rooted in Bitcoin, totally transformationally structured in an unimaginable way, rooted in Bitcoin with deflationary economics, free market principles, true freedom, right? So, without further ado, this is going to be an awesome, exciting talk. Let me know what you think. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Telegram, what have you. Please retweet it, share it, and subscribe to my YouTube channel, to my, you know, all the podcast platforms out there. Write me a positive review if you love this talks, my show as much as I did. And, well, thank you so much again for your support and for listening. And if you, in any shape or form, can support us in this endeavor, in this project, this film project, whatever that is, within, you know, your skills, your talents, the resources you have, or you want to sponsor us, invest in us, produce the film, co-produce the film, or help us in any shape or form, please get in touch with me. My email is hello@thetotalconnector.com. And my DMs are open. So thank you so much again, and I'll see you soon again. Bye. Hey, welcome to the Total Bitcoin Podcast Show. My name is Kevan Davani, the Total Connector. I'm really pleased and excited to have this amazing talk, this a panel discussion with my friends from originally from Iran, but somehow it's sort of Iranian diaspora. So it's Zara and Zia. Hi, how are you doing?
Hey there.
And Arman he's in Hamburg in Germany. So thanks so much again for your guys for your time. And yeah, why don't we just kick it off? Why don't we just start off with you, Zara? Can you tell me and, you know, our listeners a little bit about yourself, like what's your path to Bitcoin? What was your vision, your intention behind Bitcoin? What do you see? What do you see? What is the bigger picture like when you?
Yeah, sure. My story is a little bit like other people who say that we heard about this thing, but we didn't really we didn't see it. I first heard this word in a podcast about Silk Road, you know, Silk Road, that's a website, Amazon of drug. And then it was interesting for me, but it was not like, it didn't capture my attention. It was just a word I heard and I said, okay, cool. Is there some kind of tool like that? And afterwards, I heard it in Mr. Robot series. And the third time I was in like a job interview or something, and I heard about Dogecoin alongside with Bitcoin, and some words like dark web or clear web, and I said, okay, isn't this the only internet we know? So I started talking to my friends about it and stuff. One of my friends bought me a magazine about Russell Briggs, interview and story and all that stuff, because I was really interested in everyone I saw. I just talked about Silk Road. It was like really the most amazing story I've heard in that period of time. And then I learned about these buzzwords, and I started to comprehend that this idea is a very strong idea, because it's here to make a difference. It's here to change. It wants to change the society, with some very, very basic rules. It's like, if you do the right thing, I'm going to reward you. If you do the wrong thing, you're out of the network. This is like basic nature of every human. And you can use this to run something big, run some kind of economical, financial and economic base. So I just started searching, and I didn't know that we have a community in Iran. And I was like in Reddit asking, how can I buy Bitcoin? How can I, you know, learn about it and own it and stuff? And then I just searched very randomly Bitcoin in Twitter in Persian. And I found this amazing friend, Hadi Nemati. It's our mutual friend with Zia. And he introduced me to the community. Then I got connected with Zia and other people. So I just started learning. And I learned about I started with the idea, because this is some very, very strong idea. I started with Hash, and then Bcash, and then Hashcash, and then we have this beautiful thing called Bitcoin. So when I covered all the basics, I just started knowing about the details. So why I said this long story, it was simply because I wanted to tell you that you need to know why first, and then you need to go to the next step. I know my why, and that why is because Bitcoin is here to change something big, to change society, to change how we behave in modern world, and to just make a new world. So this is why. This is my why, and you need to learn and know your own why and then learn about it. This is the most effective way in my personal idea.
Well, thanks for sharing. Fascinating story. Let me just ask you, what you know, I always heard that the median average age of the, you know, of majority of Iran's population is around 30, 35 years old. Is that true? Like 70 to 80% of Iran's population is around like 30. Is that correct? Is that true?
I'm not really sure.
But relatively, that. Relatively young. I mean, that's the point.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Sort of the demographics is like that, right? So I'm just saying, because you say, you know, because you're all sort of, I mean, I already belong to the older generation because I'm like 48 years old. So I feel much younger than I look like. So anyway, so I think people are hungry. Do you think people, the young generation of Iran, they're hungry now, you know, for a change, for a real transformation, for a vision?
Yes. Okay, you know, I want to put it in right words because it's not a young generation of Iran or young generation of some place. It's everyone. You know, the world is kind of on fire. Okay.
Yeah.
And the pandemic came and everything had got worse. I mean, everyone wants a change, a good change. We know some new things, and this is just so obvious to us right now. Like, centralization of power or money is bad. Okay, yes, I know it's bad because I have seen it. I have been hurt by it. So yes, I know it's bad. You do not need to explain things to other people in the way that you needed to before, because we are connected more than ever, and we can share our stories, we can learn and hear. So everyone, almost everyone in their country, just become conscious and see that they have big problems and they want to change. So yes, in Iran we want change. In other places we want change because it's not working anymore.
Right.
The way, the way authorities are running the world is not effective. It's not working.
Yeah.
We simply need to.
Yeah. And, you know, historically speaking, I mean, if you look at the history and, you know, the people of Iran, what they've gone through in all these ages, will it be hundreds of years or thousands of years? It's because, you know, it's always in history everywhere like that. You know, out of necessity comes creativity, you know. So I think people, yeah. So Zia, you know, let me come to you. You know, you're pretty internationally, globally very famous. But because every time, you know, if you listen to Andreas Antonopoulos, or Alex Gladstein of the Human Rights Foundation, every time there's a practical example, like would it be Venezuela or Iran, they mention you. They mention a specific case, and then they mention you, you know, your testimonials, you know, the things you describe, you know, how Bitcoin can work in countries like Iran. So, I've already had you on my show, so most of my listeners know you already, but maybe you want to, you know, tell a little bit about your background.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know about Andreas, but I know Alex. We've talked together a lot, and I've been on a podcast with him before on the Let's Talk Bitcoin podcast. Yeah, and he's a great guy. Andreas is a great guy too. I've learned a lot from both of them. So as you said, I guess your listeners know me. I'm a big Bitcoiner living in Iran, and I'm pretty active on Twitter. I've been active in the Persian, in the Farsi community, in the Iranian community most of the time, because information about Bitcoin more than the English community, because there's a lot of resources there. Yeah. And my first, how I got into Bitcoin, it was in late 2016, early 2017. I've seen the name Bitcoin before from like piracy websites, like Pirate Bay and all that stuff on their donation page. But I've never been interested in Googling it. So a friend came to me and said, I want to build this hardware. I come from a literature background, but I'm very interested in technology and hardware particularly. And he came to me and told me, I want to build a mining rig. And I told him, what's a mining rig? He said that they somehow do a procedure on some hardware to put a lot of GPUs on that. And I looked it up and I told him that I can do this for you. And I searched a little bit about it because I got interested at that time, because gave, like, somehow it gave magic money for free. Yeah. Then I got down the rabbit hole, like, in no time, because it overlapped with my literature studies regarding power relations, the hierarchies and all of these stuff that we know, which are very bad regarding governments and all of that. So it clicked, and I liked the idea. I read about it, and I started working with Bitcoin businesses, exchanges here in Iran, and I got up this space, and yeah, this is the story.
That's really fascinating insights. You know, where was it? I think you recently also went on John Vallis' Rapid Bitcoin Fire podcast. That was pretty cool, because there were like people from Venezuela and I think Turkey, and you from Iran, right? So
Argentina.
I retweeted that because it was really interesting. The questions also were pretty good from John Vallis. So for the record, Arman is my cousin, just for the record. So until recently, I didn't even know that I had a cousin, because we've never seen each other, right? I mean, literally.
Yeah, it's, exactly. You left Iran way before my dad was even married.
Yeah. So just for clarity, Arman is the son of my mother's brother, my dai, as we say, right? So, Arman, why don't you tell a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, it's a great pleasure to be here. I mean, talking with Ziya Zahra, with you, Kayvon. I mean, I'm relatively new, as you know, like in Bitcoin community. I'm relatively new because I had a bit different path. Like, I left Iran when was it, like in 2009. You remember the protest in the year 88, the green protest. There was like our house, it was close to Shiraz University, and it was crazy. I mean, yeah, then somehow some other stuff happened. You know, I wasn't really planning to go outside, but my parents, especially my mom, they were like, yeah, this is not really good. It's like, let's seek for something different. So yeah, by that time, I think I was 16 or 17. Then we went to Malaysia. And anyway, long story short, I was living in Malaysia for almost 7 years. I did my bachelor degree. I mean, finalized the high school, then went to college, bachelor degree. I did mechanical engineering. Then I came over to Germany, to north part of Germany, a city called Flensburg. Then I did my master's degree in wind engineering. And, you know, you always have to, the first thing, you want to get independent. So you want to somehow to put the time, your parents, they are somehow supporting you to concentrate more on your time and come up with whatever you're good with, creativity, and of course, somehow glimpse into technology. But anyhow, first you want to get independent, earn some money during the study time. Like when I was in Malaysia, it's totally like, it's illegal to work. I mean, you might be able to work, but if they find out, you will get deported straight away. And then here in Germany, then as an international student, there are like different rules. You can only work 120 days, like full working day, like 8 hours per day. But anyhow, if you find some student job, you can somehow get a bit more independence. And then then I finalized my master's degree. I started working in a basically wind turbine manufacturer company. We are supplying but mostly European countries. And unfortunately, Iran, I mean, that's whole another topic. It's, they are making some progress, but where are most of the money going to? I got to know Bitcoin basically in the recent hype. I mean, I heard about Bitcoin, but I never really searched it. I was like, okay, I need to earn some money. You know, I need to get a bit more independent, and then try to, okay, I think my time, they can value it in a different way. But then I got deeper down into Bitcoin. I mean, every day, like, it's like how Plan B just said it. Like, once you see it, there is no way unseeing it. It's like, anyway, but it's a pleasure to be here with you guys. And as a main hobby, I mean, that is somehow my profession at the moment, but I also make music. I produce some music. I play in a band. I used to play in different bands, but yeah, that is somehow my other part of life. But yeah, at the moment, I don't have that much financial dependency on that one. You know, it's I still need the other profession, but yeah.
So, yeah, thanks for sharing.
But it, just finding Kayvon through Bitcoin, it was. that's gonna be on the stone, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So listen, I mean, I recently, you know, created this group, this film group on Telegram. So I added Zia and Arman to that group. So I don't know, Zara, if you want, I can add you to that group too. I don't know if you're in Telegram or not, but that would be awesome if you know, get your whatever, any kind of input or inspiration or ID if you have, or, you know. And that's also, you know, a main topic I want to talk to you about is, I've been thinking a lot, you know, like, how can we translate this beauty of, you know, of this vision, you know, the ethos behind it, the power, the economical power, the structural power that it can, you know, the structural transformation that it can create through Bitcoin, you know. So I wrote a short article, you know, it's called Human Life Rooted in Bitcoin. And I was trying, like, to say, you know, there's tons of materials out there already, you know, mostly, of course, in English, which it's being, a lot of it is being translated into other languages, you know, with books or articles. So I'm trying to my best either to do some, you know, interviews also in German, at least for the German speaking folks, or make like readings, like I read the articles in German, especially for German, for a lot of German speaking people, they don't understand, they hardly understand, or speak little or none English. So it's good, you know, if we have a diversified spectrum, you know, of languages that people can reach out to, at least on an educational level. But, you know, for me, maybe it's because due to my impatience, it's the process is still slow. So I'm thinking, how can we translate, how can we reach the people in their hearts, in their minds, you know, on their specific, very individual comprehension level? We're all, you know, we're all so different. We all have different approaches, different pain points, different needs, desires, different visions, dreams. So this is what I've been thinking about. And so I'm like, what if we do like a short, you know, a relatively short trailer, a teaser, something like a short video, you know, but as professionally made as possible, but really visualize. That's the key, right? The emphasis is really on visualize, right? Not to intellectualize, not, you know, because it's people, if you look at most of the people, especially mainstream people or the average person on the street, you know, they don't have much time. They have responsibilities, they have jobs, they have this and that. They are distracted. They have mainstream media bombarding them with bullshit. So this is what I want to ask you, all of you, like, what would you say could be a good, like a starting point where what I want to envision, what I want to visualize is what the future could look like. Would it be a free private cities? You know, there are already projects running, or seasteading, you know, platforms already built on water and land, or would it be the, you know, a society, a miniaturized human civilization rooted in Bitcoin? What could, like, the daily life of the average person look like? Practically, on every level, you know, structurally, economically, technologically, infrastructurally, you know? Any ideas? The door, stage is yours. Zara, let's begin with you.
Okay. It's a hard question, first of all, because you cannot probably produce something that could touch people's logic, touch people's emotion, touch people's the bottom that you touch and people just understand that thing. This is really hard because it differs country to country, individual to individual. But what I see that has worked on me at least is to show them what's wrong and give them a good why. Why do you need this money? Why should we go toward this kind of future and just prevent going down that particular path? When you talk to people about the things that is wrong, they can see it, they can apply it to their lives, to the place they live, and afterwards they can approach to what you are representing, which is Bitcoin, in their own reason, in their own view. I believe this is the most effective way to do that localization in a way.
Yeah, let me ask you one more question. Do you think that people understand the real power behind Bitcoin, what it can really affect? Like, what would be the effects? Like, what is the chain reaction of? Because I think a lot of people don't understand, you know, the power structures, the monetary structure, the central banking system, you know, all these monopolies, the cartels. You know, do you think people understand the bigger picture in order to go into the comprehension of why Bitcoin, and then go, you know, focus on the solution?
Exactly. You are not willing to change it. If you feel comfortable in a very, very hot water and you just leave it there because the water has got hotter just a little bit every year, every summer, you're just gonna boil at the end of the day and you're not gonna know it. So when you are boiling, if you see the other lakes and see that they have green skin instead of, you know, red skin, you can understand that something is wrong. So I believe we need to mention directly to the things that we think is wrong with the world, like the central bank, as you said. Why is it bad to have central power? Why is it bad to have centralized institutes? You can just tell them that and they can see and apply it in their lives. Like, I go to some kind of an institute and I see that only one person is in power and all of the people in that institute, let's call it the language institute, are going to just listen to that person. And that person is like 100 years old, and that 100 years old has very different understanding of language and everything else. And you are telling like children from 2 to 18 that you need to listen to this kind of a form of teaching, language teaching, that this 100-year-old person tells you to. Okay, so this is obviously wrong. This is wrong, and you need to indicate that. And afterwards, you can just give the solution: decentralization. Decentralization is that you just share the power, and you have some particular person for 2 to 10 age you have other people for like 10 to 20, 20 to 30. And this approach helps the learners learn better. And you improve profit, you improve everything. Okay, so everyone wins. So why not decentralize the power of deciding? Why not decentralize the money? I mean, when you share, you're gonna get back more. So I believe if everyone understands these concepts and they can know that they can live it in daily life and not just on the internet, I totally don't agree with calling Bitcoin internet money. It's not in money of internet. It's not. It's money of new style of living. You know, it's the money of future. It's something more than that. You can apply it to your life and to your decision. Like I, as an individual, I can apply these concepts to my life. So why not do that? This is the best way, I believe, to connect to this network and system and be Bitcoiners at the end of the day, all of us, you know, a network of Bitcoiners, not just a network of people who use Bitcoin. This is not going to work, in my opinion.
That's great. Yeah, that's great input. Let me ask you, the role of the government, what is the role of the government supposed to be? Isn't it, I know what it is, but, or what it should be, but what do you think is the role of the government in this whole process?
Okay. Yeah. So we are saying that centralization is bad and something is good, and that's not my whole point. No. You know, let me give you an example. In Somali, they didn't have a central government for a period of time, and I'm not aware if they have it right now or not. But when you just omit that part, that centralization called government, everything is just anarchy. We do not want full anarchy. Nobody wants that. Nobody benefits from that. So the pirates just got a lot of people, and the shipping has gone bad. And there were a lot of problems that I am unfortunately not recalling right now, but there were problems because governments are meant to build roads. Governments are meant to meet our needs. Governments need to, manage our relationship with other countries. Governments are not bad. Okay,
but,
and we're
okay,
not
let me,
saying that.
Okay.
We're saying that you need to
go ahead. No, I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you, but
we need
could
to specify there.
Yeah, but could private companies do that much more cheaper and efficiently? I think that's the key question. All these things like protecting safety, liberty, security, protecting property, right? Property rights. Could all those things be done not more, much more cheaper, but much more efficiently, faster, and even more innovatively by private, you know, entrepreneurs or companies?
You know, that's, I'm going to call it a beautiful idea, but we cannot know if it's a practical one too. You know, we need to
Oh, I hope we haven't lost her now. She's frozen. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. What about here?
Yeah.
Okay. She's frozen a little bit. Well, she'll come back. She'll come back. What are your thoughts on this, along these lines?
are you referring to me? Sorry.
So
I love some of the ideas, as Zahra said. I believe in private stuff, but yeah, that's the main thing. Because like let's take the situation here on Iran as an example. Like I'm just right now, I was in a very heated debate on Twitter on there was a very, very unfortunate incident right now, happened today in Iran. There was this this athlete who was executed today, and against what people actually wanted from the government, they told, like, they were, yeah. So I was in this debate that the government did this wrong, and he shouldn't have been executed just for protesting. This is very stupid. Like, where's the human thing to, what is the human thing to do? It is like this person should not be executed. So, but I see a lot of people, a lot of people supporting the government here and what they did, and this is very, very frustrating. I know about like the exit strategy. Like, I see Arman, I see Kayvon doing the exit strategy from this country, and they did the best thing that they could have done. This is my point of view, and I see the exit strategy for some people is like, I was thinking that what would be the best country if I wanted to travel to, and there was a very fun questionnaire, and there was none actually for me. So I don't believe in this much government, because I could see that they could use it for any kind of like actions that would benefit them, and they would do these advantages to harm people. So I'm very into private. Like, if we have private property, we have like privacy, we have a lot of stuff which are private, like private places of our own. I come from a very like traditional places in Iran, places where the government didn't have any role until very recently in the last decade. So I didn't see the whole picture completely, but I heard a lot from my father and grandfather about this thing, that there were like places where people lived without the intervention of the government, and they were prosperous, and they had their own rules, and they had their own communities. And this is like only logical that we could build something like this. It's nothing against the tide, it's not against basic human instincts and relations. Yeah, so I was thinking, how could we promote such a thing? Like, you talked about your movie, and I love the idea, and I was thinking that this visualization of such an idea would be very good. Like, when I talk with my friends about such stuff, they say that it's not possible, and it's very difficult to grasp the idea and all that. But I know that it's only because of the experience. You need a little bit of experience in that, and you need to see the whole picture, and then you're going to have an aha moment, and then say, yeah, this works. This totally works. But it wouldn't. They thought that it wouldn't work because they couldn't see the whole picture, and they couldn't see how this thing could work. Yeah. Basically this.
Mm-hmm. How would you, Zio, how would you pitch the vision to people? Like, to average people who haven't even probably not really, dealt with Bitcoin at all. Maybe they've heard it, but how would, like, I'm thinking, what would be, because, you know, in a video, in a video pitch or in a trailer, you have like 5 minutes or maybe maximum, let's say 10 minutes. But I'm thinking really more along the lines of a of sort of a commercial where you, you know, pick up the people where they're exactly are in that position, you know, emotionally, existentially, psychologically. And it's becoming more and more crystal clear for me, you know, like this is, I have a very, very concrete, precise, you know, specific vision for what the future can realistically look like in 10 years or 20 years, let's say, you know, I can even see it in 10 years from now. But, and you know, because it just, people are so bombarded, so distracted with so much, you know, information overflow and, you know, misinformation and disinformation campaigns, you know, mainstream media and this and that and fear factors and this, all this corona, you know, bullshit, it's, you know, scientific fraud and propaganda. And so like people already like, you know, so plugged in into the matrix. So I'm thinking like, you know, let's give them really a positive, like, you know, something beyond belief and something beyond hope. Let's give them some, you know, a concrete vision, you know, this is what reality can look like, you know, in a deflationary economics, with deflationary technologies, with, you know, with a healthy structural system, you know, where private entities can actually take care of your security, your safety, your property, you know, your well-being, you know, that's all what we need, you know, and the rest just gonna take care of itself. And that is the free market or free market principles. That is true capitalism, because we don't have capitalism anymore. So before we go, you know, before we go right into the intellectual discussion, you know, why Bitcoin, what the fuck happened in 1971 when we went off the gold standard, you know, the criminally immune and untouchable central banks, the governments that are, you know, in collusion with the central banking cartels that are actually themselves whitewashing trillions, literally trillions of fiat money. So these are the things, you know, we don't even need to go there, because it goes into the, not necessarily into negativity, but it goes into like, you know, the people, it's a comprehension process. So I'm trying, you know, to take that burden off and say, hey, this is the beauty, this is the beautiful vision, this is what you and your children and your beloved ones and your society, your colleagues, your everybody around us, total humanity, can thrive, can blossom in a civilization that has been actually been stolen from us. If you read like Robert Breedlove's, what was the title? Did you, something like With Money and Slavery, you know, where he...
Yeah, Masters and Slaves.
Oh, beautiful. A beautiful article where he, you know, explicitly says, you know, he calculates like how many hours, like trillions of hours been stolen from us, you know, through this modern slavery. And it's not only time, but it's the time, of course, it's the sort of the expression of everything then, you know, but it's everything has been stolen from us. The technological innovations in the last 100 years. I mean, have you ever wondered why we have such, you know, amazing advancements in information technology, computer technology, and artificial intelligence, machine learning, and not in transportation? Have we ever asked ourselves why we're still burning, you know, why we're still flying with combustion engines, literally? It's insane, you know, if you think about it. So how much, you know, how much technological innovation has been stolen from us and from humanity? So this is what I want to show. This is supposed to be the vision, and then we can still go, you know, into the full production mode of a full documentary. It's gonna probably cost $200,000 to $250,000, but that can be crowdfunded if the pitch, if the video, if the, you know, if this trailer is so effective emotionally, you know, on a cognitive level, psychologically, and on a comprehension level, that people are so excited about it that they, for the first time in their, maybe in their lives, you know, understand the true power of Bitcoin. Okay, this is,
wow,
my rant.
That could have been the pitch. Yeah. I read your Medium article, and it was a pitch for me. It was okay for me. But I know that not all people would take the red pill easily. Yeah, so you're totally right. The people are connected to the matrix, so deeply connected that they can't see anything beyond what we are having around us. And I don't know, we need to do this like in a, like how you said it, we need to give it and in an emotional way that they could experience what they seeing in front of them. Like I was thinking that it, like if there was something like this that could like influence people and they, which could like bring them to such an idea and attract them toward this idea, it would be something like Bitcoin businesses, businesses which are like rooted in Bitcoin, which are working around Bitcoin, and such businesses need to exist more. We have some businesses right now, but we need more of these, and we will have such businesses because it's the obvious thing. And I'm going to talk about this in a minute. We need to show them Bitcoin businesses and how they can thrive and they can prosper. And this could get bigger and could get magnified and like build a society, a community. Let's call it a community. Build a community which can work around Bitcoin. This idea, the people need it because, like, let's say you talked about technology. Look at the technology right now. Look at how it is being used to control people. Look how the technology is actually evolving to be used by governments, like the AI, the digital dictatorship of China and these countries. We've all experienced and observed, and we've all experienced this, that and how quickly it evolves. So imagine all the ways that a state can control people in the future. Like this has to stop, and this is needed to stop that. So if it's not like cities on the ocean, something like that, which looks very from futuristic and from sci-fi movies, but it could be like small communities which rotate around their own economy, and they are not dependent on a controlling system of like money, and this can reduce the power of the state and cut its hands from controlling people, and it stops these oppressive governments, and this way we could get our own idea of how to build an economy without such establishment. Yeah, I see Bitcoin a way for this, like, you know, this this thing that Eric Voorhees, you know, Eric Voorhees, CEO of, I think, Shapeshift, yeah, he said that we need the separation of money from the state, just like the separation of church and state. This is needed for people to if they experience such a thing, we could see it as a community without the religion or the freedom of actually choosing one's religion. So if we have this idea and we've accomplished such a thing in our history, actually we haven't accomplished this in Iran, but if humanity can accomplish such a thing, they can accomplish a separation of state and money. And money is a freedom, it is somehow an expression. It is an expression, and we need this freedom to build new ideas, build new stuff, and get away from that matrix and that entanglement with this centralized system, which reduces one's creativity, reduces one's productivity, and controls all of the, we hear a lot about this government planning or central planning and all of that. So if it is planning, who says that you can plan stuff for me? Because people can have a lot of plans. Like there's a very few people in that controlling body of the government, and these ideas that come out outside of these people, these are not enough. Even if there are good ideas, even if there are good countries with good ideas and with good government systems, but these are not enough. We need to go beyond this. I've heard about this thing, the Great Barrier of Elon Musk. You know about the idea. So if there's a way to go through this barrier, it is not how we are doing stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah. I totally believe and understand things that you're saying, and those are beautiful words, and I stand by them. But there are two things that I want to ask, one about people and one about speed. About the people, I believe in any century, in any years, we're going to have people who want to be ruled. I mean, they don't want to be autonomous. They want somebody else do the things for them. This is one problem. And the other problem is the speed. The speed that Bitcoin is growing is good, is like, all right. But one moment, one second, just imagine about the things that is going on simultaneously around the world with fiat money. How is Bitcoin how's Bitcoin gonna, win this battle with people and with speed?
If I may answer this.
Sure,
yeah, so I have this idea of voice and exit and in private businesses and private structures. Do you know this idea? It says that if an employee is not consenting about what is going on around him in a private business, if his rights are taken or something, he should raise a voice and he should declare that I don't want this. This is like very bad condition for working or something. And if he's not, if his criteria or his requirements are not met, he can exit. This is a very good strategy for choosing to go by a system that you like, that you want and you want to support and work with. This is I imagine with private communities with no central authority, I see this a very good way. Right now in the world we have this, but it is being very reduced. Obviously nowadays it is very, very limited, and most people can't just migrate and go in another place very easily. But I see that if countries were built like this, imagine a Swedish student who sees that he can't continue with the Swedish the education system or something for his university, he could go and choose another country and go another place and build his ideas and businesses another place. So this thing is I'm talking about the choice, this freedom of choice. If we have this, if you want to be somehow regulated by community, you can choose the best community for yourself. And I guess it goes down to the freedom of choice. We can't go lower than this. This is a very basic need, I guess.
Thank you. That was the best answer.
Yeah, and let me add to that. What the speed is concerned. You see, what we definitely need is this critical mass. I think Corey Clipson talked about the intransigence minority. And with it, you consider it from a global viewpoint or from a country specific, with it be, Iran or Venezuela. We have 70, 80 million people in Iran. what if, you know, what if 10 million people, let's just say, okay, you know, I mean, it's already generous, too generous, maybe too much, but 10 million people could be this intransigence minority or this critical mass, right? What if they, you know, all of a sudden started adopting Bitcoin in whatever way? Would it be, you know, starting just hodling and saving and then starting, you know, I mean, the tech is already pretty much evolved. You know, it's now much, much easier to use applications, software, mobile wallets, even coin joining, mixing coins, you know, with Samurai wallets. Everything has become easier, you know. So I think, so what I see also with the advancement of technology and with the practical usefulness of technology, would it be, you know, satellite kits where you totally are independent of the internet, because this is what we are heading to, right? What if you don't need the internet? You know, you're not dependent on bandwidth or internet anymore. I mean, that would be, I mean, people are working in that on different, you know, would it be, what is it, Global Mesh Network or Lodger Mesh, right? I had him on my show from Lodger Mesh, Randy Brito. So all these people are working on this technology. So, and I know, you know, for everything, there's a mature and perfect timing, a perfect place, right? And maybe, yes, maybe this is right now as we speak, maybe this is not the moment. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're totally right. Maybe it needs some maturity, some process, some comprehension process, some pain point. People need to really have so much necessity, maybe, you know, feel the pain, the economical, social, not necessarily physical, but yeah, it's actual physical. When you're starving, when you, you know, you have no job, when you have to take care of yourself, your family, your beloved ones, it's, you know, so hard times. I don't know this saying, but somehow the hard times create, you know, strong men or strong people, right? Something along those lines. So, but I don't know, but maybe I'm too optimistic. But the thing is, I have this trust. It's beyond belief. You know, I just don't believe in Bitcoin. I know it's possible. We just need to have that trust, and trust means knowing. And, you know, trust means knowledge, knowing that it is possible. I have maybe too much conviction, I don't know, but I have so much, you know, such a strong conviction and trust in the power of Bitcoin that I know once people individually and collectively, like on a dynamic level, you know, where things are just coming together, sometimes, you know, on every level, whether it's be art or creativity, you know, or you know, in science or research, you know, some things are just independently evolving, and you don't know why it's happening, but it's dynamic, you know. So this is where I see Bitcoin, and it's evolving, you know, it's really by order of magnitude evolving. But I just want to give this a little bit more in our human space-time continuum, this trigger, right? This acceleration, right? So I want to give this the tipping point. Like, this is because I want to usher into a space of freedom. What does freedom mean? You know, even our parents or grandparents probably don't even know or didn't know, you know, what real freedom or hard money means, right? Or what does it mean? Abundance, prosperity, real prosperity. Like, what does it mean to be able to save money with hard money, which used to be gold, right? Like until whatever, 19th century or something, right? The decoupling actually for gold started 1914, right before the First World War. So it's no coincidence, right? So how do you finance wars, right? You go into you go into debt, and you print, you know, everything out of it. So that's what I see. You know, I see on every level a structural change. Once we have this critical mass adoption.
Perfect answers. Thank you.
Was that the answer to your question, or did I go off the tangent here?
Yeah, it was beautifully described. And when you talk and Zia talks, I just fall in love with Bitcoin all over again. How are you doing, Arman?
Yeah, so basically, of course, like, Kayvon and Zia, when they're talking, it's just close your eyes and listen to them. So, first of all, I mean, as Zia also said, like, what happened to Navid, it's, I mean, all I'm saying, of course, they're all my personal opinion, but I think the just mix the Islamic fascism somehow with the banking system, you know, it's already deep shit. It's like, and you cannot even make any objection. And but the situation is that, I mean, what Zahra was asking, like, the people, you're totally right. The majority of people, they want to be ruled. They don't see the ability in themselves to become self-sovereign, you know, to take more responsibility. It's a quite responsibility. I mean, taking all the money out of your bank and, you know, it's all in your wallet, but you have to figure out how to increase your privacy, just, you know. But in the same time, I think, like, how Iran is using Islam as a main religion in the country, that's one of the key factors that the time, it might take some time, of course, but what we know, I mean, because the technology is deflationary, that's totally like what I'm working, like I'm working in a field that we are already somehow making the AI for the prediction of the failures in the wind turbine drivetrains, you know, so we're making new monitors based on data analysis and the past historical data set, try to optimize it as much as possible. But if I go to my employer, like the company, I mean, it's not the biggest one, but it's rather big. Like, I think we are 6,000 or 7,000 globally. I think 6,000, Nordex is, 5.5 or 6,000. But if I tell them, okay, I want to be paid in Bitcoin, you know, I want to get paid in Bitcoin. It's still the majority of, that's another point of it. A lot of educated people, they still don't see the big picture. You know what I mean, right? So somehow it is still, it takes some more time for the mass adoption. But of course, like what Kayvan is planning to do, it's a great project. It's like, if we can make it, I mean, I know somehow like what Kayvan wants it to be, because he doesn't want it to be sci-fi. But in the same time, looking at the big picture, it can be, keeping it short, it can really touch, if it can touch some hearts, it really worth trying it, of course, and it will. But yeah, I think in Iran, one of the, like, the major fact at the moment, the current situation is how government is ruling the country using what is it called as Islam. I mean, I don't want to get into the detail, but yeah, the Islamic regime, it's not even a republic, you know, it's, yeah.
No, I get you.
Yeah, I wanted to add on this. So I see that like we all lived in Iran, and we've seen this and we've experienced stuff. So what Arman is saying, I believe in that, like, people cannot, like, grasp the idea of Bitcoin unless they experience what we've seen here. So but basically we're not different than others. Like, we may have a shitty government here. It's actually not even a government. It's just as what Arman said. But still, we're not very different than other people. Like, the government may oppress, but, like, consider this idea. They are not more than a bunch of people. They are very few people.
Mm-hmm.
But this evolution of money beyond control and censorship, this money which give you self-sovereignty, this idea is much bigger than a bunch of people.
Exactly.
And this is inevitable. It's gonna happen. We here in Iran may feel the need for such a thing more than others. We see it more clearly. We see this picture better than others. But regardless of that, it's inevitable and it's going to happen for the whole world. So, yeah, I wanted to add this picture.
Mm-hmm. No, it's really...
Yeah, that's exactly, like, because, yeah, like, we, I mean, especially, like, you guys, we really felt the inflation, you know, in here, the people, they know what inflation is, but literally, even when you just look at the past, like 10, 12 years, you know, when we went to Malaysia, I'm coming from really like normal family. My dad has been educated, of course, and he even served the military during war. And he holds a bachelor degree, he was an accountant, and he was retired. And now the pension, it's really funny, you know? We were talking about it like some months ago, because when we went to Malaysia, like, of course, my dad was still supporting us. I was staying with my mom and my younger sister for like 9 months roughly. And so we were just calculating like how he was supporting us, and we were paying for the house. We rented the house and converting all the currencies, the ringgit to US dollar. And nowadays, if you want to rent the same house, even if the rent is the same, it's still the same, which of course it's not. The pension that my dad is getting from the retirement, basically retirement account, hardly covers half of the rent of that house. Crazy. From year 2009.
Mm. Yeah, that's called inflation, hyperinflation actually.
Hyperinflation, yeah. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse. It's like, but anyway, the idea of private cities, like, why not? I mean, let's just rely on this. It's pure deflation. What else do we want? I mean,
yeah, and as you know, again, and just the basic stuff like being taken care of, but much more efficiently, cheaper, better, faster. You know, more and much with unimaginable innovative, you know, creativity. So everything, you know, it's just basic stuff we just need to be taken care of. You know, would it be safety, security, health, you know, with medicine, I don't know, the trash can, you know, or, you know, property rights. Right. So, guys, before we wrap up, Armin, can you hear us?
Lost you for a second. Yeah.
Are you here?
Yeah, I lost you for a second.
No problem. No. Yeah, but I really enjoyed our talk. Let's just wrap this up. But I really would love to continue, these kind of talks in the near future with you guys, because it gives like specific insights and, you know, an understanding into the, you know, into the specifics, not only of Iran, but like how do you envision like the future of all of us, you know, with, you know, on the basis of Bitcoin. So, yeah, before we wrap up, do you guys have any last wishes, or where can people find you?
Guys, can I go?
Sure, go ahead.
I want to tell people that you should be probabilistic. When you are probabilistic, you are not optimistic, and you are not some kind of depressed, you know.
Pessimist.
I know. Yeah, pessimist. Thank you. Yeah. When you're probabilistic, you can just get the facts and logic the future you want. And that logic in the future you want will help you build that future. We in this group and in this worldwide community have found Bitcoin to be that thing, that tool to go toward that future that we want. And if you find it interesting, come join us.
Great. Yeah. See ya, Armin. Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to say this because, like, I was thinking about it before we started this talk. I was thinking that Bitcoin is like Bitcoin and self-sovereignty. It's only logical. It's like there's this desire in like making profit and doing cooperation with others, and Bitcoin has this thing, but and also it leads to self-sovereignty, so people can do cooperation and keep like without a central planner and be self-sovereign. And like Iranians feel this more than others, and Iranians did like, what do they desire? They desire better life, like far from these oppressive and manipulative governments and all of that. And Bitcoin has this potential, and hopefully it will be in the future. So it is the case for me right now, and it has become this desire for me for cooperation, to get my self-sovereignty and build a better life. And this is the thing I wanted to say. I wanted to say that nowadays this cooperation has been in a way that it is making me find like-minded people much easily, like in comparison to a couple of years ago. And this like I don't need to tell people to just join me or something. It is a state of cooperation for self-sovereignty. So, and at the end of the thing, if you want to contact me, I'm on Twitter. So just Google me, you're going to find me easily.
Yeah, most people know you. Yeah. So what's your Twitter handle, by the way, Zara? You can unmute yourself. I think. Is it frozen?
51. What? Yeah, please repeat again.
Oh, what was your Twitter handle? Maybe you wanted to share that with the listeners. What would people can find you?
Yeah, I've just shared it. It's a couple of number and it's the hash of my name. The first few words of the hash of my name. It's 59 4E 51. It's my username.
So genius. Okay. Cool. Okay, Armin, what's your last wish, and what is, you know, the one wish you have for now?
Once I really figured out what Bitcoin is, it wasn't that long ago, but I'm like, I put all my life savings in it. You know, it's not that much, of course. I'm relatively young, but I'm like, I don't even care about daily price. Relative to my income, I'm buying like aggressively. I'm really buying a lot because I know this thing, it's the solution to, I mean, look at the regime of Iran. They are having guns to their teeth, and what else can we do? As you also mentioned it, Kayvon, like there's no time to revolution because it's like going back in time. It's like we get much more fucked up. But it's time to make some evolution. And what's the better approach than like just choosing Bitcoin to do it and take power out of the hand of the corrupt regime? But I'm quite sure it will take more time. And but we have to, of course, the bigger community, they have to, and they're still doing it. I mean, making improvements like what the block streaming company is doing, and the Lightning Network, because now the people are saying it's way too slow. Of course, let it be slow. I mean, it's much faster than gold, but you know, just to shut their mouths and to say, okay, this is the best one, and deflationary, like the scarcity of it, that's the only thing you can have. through digital world. But yeah, anyway, I'm not very active in social media, but if you want to listen to some of my songs, you can find me on all of the online music streaming platforms like Spotify, Napster, YouTube in Iran. And yeah, let's make some music background for the movie. And
yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, that's why I have. Yeah, so we're all in that group. So I'm gonna, Zara, I'm gonna add you to that group if you don't mind later on. And thank you so much for the talk. It was really inspirational. I think you're giving, you know, people not only hope, but, you know, a really more crystal clear vision and you know, just this knowledge and wisdom, and people, you know, eventually they have to make up their own mind and form their own opinion and know and just, you know, go into this trusting process, because they need to trust, you know, not only themselves, but it's a trust issue I think we have in this society. That's my perception. So people need to trust and know that this is possible. I mean, what choice do we have? You know, we need to first, as we say, you know, fix the money first, and then, and that is Bitcoin. So Bitcoin fixes this. So let's you know, solve these symptoms at the root of the problem, and that is, you know, the monetary root layer. So thank you so much again, and hopefully we can you know, continue along this path. All right.
Yes. Sure. Good. It was nice meeting you.
Sure. Okay. Sure. See you.
Great talking to you. Yes, Anna, it was really great. Have a good time there, and let's just keep in touch. We should do it more.
Definitely.
Sure. Okay. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Bye bye. Good night. All right. How'd you like this talk? I really enjoyed this because it gives a totally different new perspectives, vision. You know, knowledge, wisdom. So yeah, and it's, you know, it's, Iran is a very unique country with its own, you know, thousands of years old traditions, culture, you know, peaceful people are peaceful. It's just this regime, the government, you know, especially this theocratic Islamic fascist communist like central planned, you know, oppressive regime. It's, this is the disgusting part of it. So yeah. So thanks again for your support, for listening. Make sure you follow me on Twitter and follow Arman, Zia, Zara. And please subscribe, retweet, share this video, and write a positive review on any other, you know, podcast platform which I'm on, and on YouTube. I'm also on YouTube. If you want to email me, my email address is hello@thetotalconnector.com, or you can, my DMs are open. And yeah, if you can support me and my team, sort of, it's not my team, but, you know, all these people that are cooperating with me on this film project, you know, to give people this beautiful vision, right? The reality of this manifested vision, what is really possible with Bitcoin at the root, with on every level you can imagine. This is just, you know, just come and, you know, work with us, cooperate with us. And would it be on a, you know, graphical level, sound, music, engineering, post-production, film production, documentary, whatever experience or skills, talents you have, get in touch with me. So thank you so much again. And my name is Kevan Davani, The Total Connector. Thanks so much for joining the Total Bitcoin Podcast Show.